The signal you are receiving is coming from deep inside of FEMA Region 1, well within the battle lines of the municipal corporation known as the Commonwealth of Taxachusetts, radiating out to the darkest corners of Al Gore's internet from our secret broadcast bunker, cleverly disguised as a middle-class living room. This is Red Pill Politics. Well, howdy, folks. This is Red Pill Politics, hour two. If this is your first time joining the show, where the hell you been? All right, it's been going on for a long time. But we are now starting at 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central, every Sunday. You can check us out right here on Republic Broadcasting Network. RepublicBroadcasting.org is a website where you can check out the other programmers. And make a small contribution of some sort. Keep us going. Anything that don't grow dies. And I'm not satisfied with the reach. We need to get out to more people, and you can make that happen. So help out, give generously, and thank you for that. Get subscribed over on our Rumble channel, would you? All right, we always throw out a live stream of the live show every Sunday, and that is one of two chat rooms where you can engage with people. All right, so definitely get subscribed to our YouTube channel. You can do that by a quick search, or redpillpolitics.tv. Another chat channel is maintained by volunteers here at the station is redpillpolitics.tango.com. All right, that's another place where you can go drop links and information, get engaged with other people of like interest. So let's wrap up, Mike. We got Mike from Arizona here talking about the border. And I definitely, I hear you, man. The northern border, there's been nothing. It's been crickets. And I'm afraid of what's going on. I'll share something with you. We've got a property up in New Hampshire. And when I go up there, there's a place, and one of my buddies tipped me off to it, one of the exits that we typically use is all blocked off. And there's a detour. And there's not much maintenance. It's basically a big knife cut that goes down between the ledge and the ramp. And there's not much that they can do. But it's been under construction, supposedly. There's a rest area, I think it's an actual rest area or way station right before it, completely taken over with FEMA vehicles. All right, and this is very odd, but what was pointed out to me is that it's right at the 100-mile mark. All right, there's a 100-mile border zone. If you do a search for that and look at the map, you'll see 100 miles from the coast, and 100 miles from our north and south border is an area where Border Patrol has jurisdiction. And for us here in the Northeast, we get hammered from the Atlantic Ocean in Canada. Those two borders pretty much eat up everything up here, Maine, Vermont, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Rhode Island, most of New York. But it was very odd that they took this over. There's a lot of vehicles that's right at the 100-mile mark, and nobody's talking about that concern with the northern border. Go ahead, Mike.
Yes. Yeah, I'm familiar with that. That was several years ago when they had those constitution-free zones where they implemented that. We were talking about the inflection point and the rally point, and I skipped over a couple of things that, if I can put those just on pause for a minute. About a month or so ago, down in Ecuador, one of the presidential candidates was assassinated, coming out of a campaign rally. And there were six Colombians that were arrested and put into an Ecuador prison. But just the other day, they were were, and that was on the 7th. So yesterday, this article is out of BorderlandBeat.com, and all six of these Colombian hitmen that were involved in the assassination of the candidate, they were found hung in their prison cells. So, as they say, dead men tell no tales. And then interrelated to that, the president, the current president of Ecuador, came up here to Washington, D.C. to have a closed-door briefing with Congress, and he's agreed to let U.S. military go down and operate in Ecuador, and both on land and off of the coast in Ecuador. So another little piece of let's send the military over here.
It's a pretty militarized area as it is. Oddly enough, there was a small village in Shushufindi, actually, in near Quito, that was a project site for one of the companies I worked for when I was in college, New England Waste Systems. And when they used to fly in to one of their project sites, and, you know, of course, out there, it isn't like hopping in a yellow cab taxi. You hopped in the back of a truck sometimes with, you know, 15 or 20 other people, and that's how you moved around. But they said whether they were getting on and off a bus, getting on and off a truck, wherever, they were pulled out and searched by people all armed up. Almost everywhere they went, whenever they were mobile and being transported around the country. But I just threw that in because that's an area that's been very militarized, like I said, for a number of years, at least back into the late 90s when many of these projects were going on. But, yeah, I heard about those guys that were found hung in jail, and it's kind of the way, like the way the CIA works, you know, they'll hire an assassin, then they'll hire a crackhead to kill the assassin, then they'll hire a meth head to kill the crackhead, and then they'll get a fentanyl addict who will kill the meth head and overdose. And that's how they clean things up. So somehow, some way, they got to him and wanted to shut him up. And, you know, that shows the reach of the World Economic Forum and the UN and those types, is their diplomats, if you will, are working through all kinds of nonprofits with your federal and state governments right now, even municipal governments, this stuff trickles into. I spent 15 years lecturing in the Northeast about this connection. But, you know, what's your final take on the borders? I mean, I ask people, one, do you look at this as an invasion? And, you know, two, what do you think's the flashpoint? What's the end point? What do you think?
Well, the Mexican people feel that the United, they teach them this in school and indoctrination, that the United States stole the northern part of Mexico. So this is an invasion. The drug cartels are insurgent groups that are slowly but surely taking over the whole country of Mexico. And they've expanded on out all the way back with Pablo Escobar down in Colombia. The Mexicans were working with them. So the whole
Going back to what you just said a moment ago, sorry to interrupt you, but it reminded me of something that was just out. Michael Yan was talking about it, where he said that the Chinese say that, you know, in ancient times, their people populated South America, North America, and, you know, that the Mexicans are now natives of China, that they feel validated in taking back their ancient territory. That's why there's like over 43, like between 40 and 50,000 military-aged Chinese that are in this country right now, who think that this is part of their territory. What do you think they're preparing for?
Takeover. But yeah, Michael Yan is a very good source. He seems to bounce around a lot of places. He's had some real good reporting down there in the Darien Gap between Panama and Colombia. But that whole area has been militarized for a long time. Honduras, Bolivia, Ecuador, Venezuela, Panama, the whole deal. But, I don't want to drag on here too long. We could definitely talk about the border because I live in Arizona and live with it all the time. But back to our inflection point and rally point. You know, if in the military, if you're out on patrol and periodically you'll pass something like a rock outcropping or a big tree, and then in case up ahead, then you get ambushed, that place has been designated as a rally point or a rallying cry to everybody, the whole nation can get behind. And our last rally point was September 11th, 2001, and I'm not going to get into all the could have been, might have been, who did it, and that's irregardless. The whole point here is it's a rally point, and the federal government must be in control of any rally point. That's why when COVID came out and there were people that had said that it was the Wu flu, or they started questioning about the efficacy of the vaccinations and the masks and everything, how they were shut down. The government puts pressure on the social media sites, Facebook or X or whoever it is, and then forces them off to be shut down their pages. Also, another what could have potentially been a rally point was January 6th, but we have to demonize those. We can't let the American people rally behind that. And we can't get the American people to rally behind the what's going on our southern border. So the president of the United States or the federal government.
They're trying to systemically terrorize the whole population from outburst in speaking up and rallying. And what we should be calling and come right out and say it like it is a peaceful assembly seeking redress of grievance. That is literal constitutional language. And that rally that day started out that way. And we shouldn't go into these events thinking that the feds aren't there. Everyone involved should, in every large event, should understand at this point going forward that the probability of agitators being in the mix, whether they're political, you know, extreme agitators, or if they're feds on an agenda, it has got to be considered. But movements, I keep using the word movement. And I like Glenn Beck when he had his thing. You know, these were people, and I really couldn't wait for the people to be separated from the movement, because once it becomes organic and the people are in the streets, I mean, everybody, I think Democrats and Republicans both, there are room on American streets for Democrats and Republicans to come together and protect their freedoms. I know there is. We just got to stop attaching characters and celebrities to things. I don't know, but yeah, go ahead, finish your point. Sorry to rant over the top.
No, it's okay. I like the back and forth because we can make statements and have questions and clarifications. It's quite all right. Don't worry about it. But those are kind of some of the things that, you know, you would think that if it's like these articles about the Border Patrol being shot at and it's on their website for press releases, you would think that maybe the media would pick up on it, but that's another example about the rally point. We can't have it. Then all of a sudden, they want to have some, oh, let's waive 26 federal laws and build 20 miles of border fence along, you know, Texas. And, you know, when Governor Abbott put those buoys down in the Rio Grande, I liken it to the term we've utilized is called squeezing the jello. When you put pressure on one area, the cartels, the insurgent groups, are very adept in shifting operations. And the one area that they've shifted to now that the media has not picked up on is that all their operations have shifted to the west out in the Tucson sector in Arizona. So this stuff that the media wants to talk about is just a dangle. It's a distraction when they want to sit here and talk about the fence or the border wall and waiving federal law and environmental impact statements and things like that. And
now, were you living in Arizona when the Arizona Minutemen back in the 90s went out there and stood on the border?
Chris Simcox, yes.
Yeah, that pretty much put the kibosh to those crossings. I mean, there
was
still
in that area, but all they did was shift to the east or west and bypass them right away. And that's the same thing. You know, we got down by Yuma, which is out towards the western end of Arizona. There's been sections of the fence have made, but there's big gaps in it. And instead of trying to seal up those gaps, because borders and fences do work. If they don't, then why do we have a fence around the White House? Why do we have a fence around Nancy Pelosi's house, but or Hillary Clinton's house? But they tell us that fences and walls don't work. Mm-hmm, right. But instead of trying to fix and patch up those fences around Yuma, then they just shift over here and go, oh, well, we're going to have some pinprick over here, which is what, 1% of the border? Where the border's 2,000 miles long, and they're going to build 20 miles of fence. Whoop-de-doo.
Okay, can I share what my solution for the border would be?
Well, does it have to do with machine guns and lots of ammo?
A little bit. I don't think you need lots of ammo, though. But consider this. A lot of people, when I start talking about this, before they let me finish, they say, oh, my God, you're just a bleeding heart, you know, tree hugger, you know, whatever. But I'm against the wall because wildlife, you know, migrate back and forth across that border all the time. There's ranches and places along the border who make their living doing hunting trips and things like that. So for the wildlife to obstruct the flow of wildlife, which has been established forever with a fence, I don't like that. At the same time, not one single person should be allowed to just walk over our border. I think it's clear enough that it can be denoted. That's been done. But the most efficient way of dealing with that, I think, is to build a single sniper tower every 500 yards. Most of these veterans and retired veterans need some work. They live along the border. What a great thing is sit up there and you know, they're pretty proficient out to 300 yards plus. So I think it's far less expensive to construct a tower every 500 yards along the border from one end to the other, allow the wildlife to come and go as it pleases. And I really don't think you need a lot of ammo. You wouldn't have to stack too many of them up like cordwood before the others said, we're not going to cross. Or we're going to immigrate properly, knock on the front door. But what do you think of that? Do away with the fence and replace it with veterans in sniper towers.
Yes, I agree. And the thing is, it's, you know, sometimes we want to make this a homogeneous thing because they're all Latinos or Mexicans or however it happens to be. But the ones that have immigrated here legally, they got in line, they paid their fees, they learned English. They had a sponsor, they got a job, they've become productive citizens. They hate these people that are sneaking in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And by their very actions, we know that what these people are doing is criminal, because we have our standard ports of entry. And if the people want to come here legally and get a visa to study or to travel, they can do that legally. But when they come between the ports of entry in the middle of the night and shoot at Border Patrol agents, we know that their activity is nefarious. It's criminal. They have criminal intent of what's going on. But, yeah, I agree with your the deal. You know, I think maybe back in the 1980s or so, there was some Marines that were running some LPOPs down on the border, and there was like an 18-year-old goat herder, was an American citizen of Hispanic descent, and he was out with his brand new 22 rifle out in this open barren area just randomly shooting at, you know, rocks or things like that for target practice.
A break coming up on us. I gotta let you go, but thank you very much for the call. I got a couple backed up here. Great discussion. This is Red Pill Politics. You listen to the Republic Broadcasting Network, and we'll be right back after these breaks.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafin, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty. Whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen, these courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom, illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Show. This is Red Pill Politics, and it's Sunday, October 8th, 2023. We heard from Mike in Arizona. We had one call that dropped, and we're going to be checking in with both Texas and Washington in just a moment here. But first, what I want to do is make sure if you're logged in and watching us on Rumble, please give us a thumbs up, help the algorithms. We do want to show up in the feeds for not only these live streams, but for the other news and politics, so that we can at least try to get some of these subjects out there and discussed. So help out if you can. Get subscribed. Join our locals channel. That's all set up, and we're going to be populating that with some other snarky musings. And, of course, republicbroadcasting.org is the website for the station. Check out the other programmers. 7 days a week, there is programming there to feed your brain. And it is so simple to listen. There is a one-click player on every page of the site. So even Democrats can listen. absolutely outstanding. Check it out and make a donation on your way out. Be greatly appreciated. So, yeah, I mean, some of the feedback in the chat room is that if Palestine simply stopped fighting, stopped attacking, that it would end, and that if Israel stopped fighting, it would just cease to exist. You know, there's some truth to that. And this is a larger discussion where, I'm not much on big government, in particular, global government. And Israel is a creation of the UN. And that has to come in as part of the discussion here is, how is this regulated? What does this mean for those of us that want small government, that reject global government? And what are the logistical issues that go along with creating nations? We're seeing one of them here. I don't know what the solution is. But what I do know is right now, everyone in the world, but especially those two entities between Palestine and it's not just Palestine, all the Muslim countries are coming together on this and what's going on with Israel. We got to throw some water on the fire, like I said. We got a situation that could very easily just roll out of control, where we were so fixated on the price of food at the stores and the billions that are going to Ukraine, thinking that something can't come. And this could just overwhelm what we've been talking about. The chaos in the world. All of a sudden, all those things may pale in comparison to what could erupt out of that situation. How do we first stop killing? Because it seems a lot of citizens on both sides, regular people. And again, I don't much care which side you're on. These are all, if you're a Christian, these are your brothers and sisters. These are other human beings. They're not the ones at war, the ones that are getting killed a lot of times. This has got to stop. We got to stop killing each other. Both sides. That's my advice, is both of you stop killing just for a while. Try it. I don't know. Let's keep up with the calls. We're doing pretty good. Jim from Texas. How are you, Jim?
Doing great, man. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How's things in Texas this morning?
Well, it's actually cooled off a little bit, so it's getting enjoyable. I love fall, but summer gets a bit long, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, you guys get any rain yet?
We have the last couple days. We've gotten some good thunder showers, but we're still way behind on the rain curve for what we typically get.
Boy, I wish I could bottle some of that up and send it down to you guys. We're topped off. All our brooks are full. Wells are full. But it's too wet. It's actually too wet. I think you're going to find mold problems up here pretty soon. But I'm glad to hear you're getting a little bit of relief. Well, Steve, I got another break. Sorry about that. Stay with us, Jim. We're going to have a couple of messages here from the network, and we'll get right back to you. This is Red Pill Politics. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, and we'll be right back with Jim from Texas.
Well, the border everywhere, Lord, the river overflows. Well, the border everywhere, Lord, the river overflows.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button, like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
This is Elizabeth McCabe, a.k.a. Lucky One of Truth Frequency News. I wanted to tell you all about Extendivite from HeartDrop.com. Y'all know I check everything before I air it. When I heard about Extendivite on TFR, I went to HeartDrop.com and started my research. It's got cayenne. That's good for blood and circulation. It stimulates the blood flow. It's got garlic, which fights bacteria like antibiotics, and it lowers the cholesterol and blood pressure. It also has milk thistle, which is the best detox for liver. I couldn't wait to try it out, and I'm glad I did 4 months ago. And here's obvious results. My hands and feet don't get cold anymore. The varicose veins have faded too. My wrists don't hurt after typing all day. Now I tell you all this because it's true and I want you to really live life. Try Extendivite. Go to heartdrop.com and order it.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Politics, please do head on over to the website redpillpolitics.tv. You'll be able to get linked up with the live stream feed we put out on our Rumble channel and other snarky musings. Get on the mailing list, things like that, blah blah blah. Give us a thumbs up if you're listening, leave a comment if you would. If you got resources, that's what it's there for. Another chat room, redpillpolitics.chattango.com. That's staffed by some of the volunteers here at the station. So do the same. Get over there, hobnob, and meet some other people, and let's talk it up and be about solutions. Let's jump right into it. The break cut off. Jim from Texas. Go ahead, Jim. You got the floor.
Yeah, I guess my main point is I'm kind of like an evidence-based guy. You know, I question everything, and I don't really follow the mainstream media all that much other than to just, you know, stick my finger up and see which way the wind's blowing. But I really think the biggest delusion for many people in the world today is that they actually have sovereign national governments. I think they've been corrupted and turned into administrative districts of world government for a long time. And evidence leads me to that conclusion, because I see no evidence of sovereign governments functioning. What do you think about that?
I would agree with you. And I'll bet you one of the things that you noticed is that the deepest wounds, that the most invasive, come from what I affectionately refer to as the new Soviet. It's not even government. It's angel agencies and committees and departments and nonprofits. You know, the American Planning Association, your regional, to bring it closer, your regional planning commissions, your town planning board. It all trickles down from the UN through what I call the new Soviet. But it's those things that are governmental, that are government-like, that have done the most damage. Would you agree with that?
I agree. And, you know, I personally feel that every alphabet agency, and especially the Department of State or the State Department, they are just all administrative departments of the UN.
Yeah, they're part of the Soviet too. They're not.
Well, whatever you want to call it, I'm just saying it is a star chamber world government.
Yeah, we don't need a Department of Education. We don't need a Department of the Interior. That's to manage federal lands. The government's supposed to have 10 miles square, post roads, post offices, things like that. You know, I can hire a modest-sized landscaping company to take care of all the territory the federal government's supposed to have. So, yeah, I agree. Go ahead.
So, from my perspective, if what I believe I see is true, then everybody that is all wrapped up in this political BS of progressive, conservative, red, blue, all this stuff is nothing but a peer distraction.
Largely, yeah.
You're never going to be able to vote your way out of the situation we're currently in, and the situation will never get better unless violence is involved. You aren't going to talk sweet to somebody and have them change their mind about what's currently going on. It's never happened throughout history, and it never will.
I mean, there's an important step between where we are and violence, and I think that's civil disobedience. I mean, if we should, I always recommend to people that we at least try saying no. No, I'm not going to do that. No, you're not going to do that to my children. You know, and just refuse to comply with their tyranny. And it just takes enough people. Like I said, the tyranny of the revenuers is the police go around and get you because your taillight's out or one of your plate lights is out, revenuing on you. And I told people, if you all got together in a county, a state, or nationwide and challenged every single parking ticket, don't write another check, challenge it and say you want your day in court, this would all come to an end. they'd stop doing that because it'd be absolute gridlock. And we just keep feeding them and paying their extortion fees, and we do it with, you know, our consent. Remove that consent. In a lot of cases, if we say no, you know, then what? What is government going to do at that point? We haven't even tried that. We should try civil disobedience before we pick up arms. I mean, that's why the First and Second Amendment are First and Second. I think they expect us to use our intellect and our ability to interact and speak freely before we pick up arms. You know, yeah, I totally agree. If all else fails and they march on the people, the government officially, and I think they're getting close, like I mentioned with Clinton's declaration of deprogramming the MAGA extremists and terrorists. I mean, we're almost there. But, I mean, is civil disobedience a reasonable intermediary between where we are and violence? What do you think?
I think that the government has already declared civil disobedience that you're automatically a terrorist, and that allows them to use violence against you. So blood's already been drawn, and it's been by them.
I mean, they're preparing to march. I totally agree with that. And people, look at what they did with these the J6ers. Those people are political prisoners, pure and simple. And we've tolerated an awful lot. The show trials, giving them good long sentences. Again, we've sat back and tolerated it. If there was a million people on January 6th, there should have been 100 million people there when they went around and rounded up those people and threw them in a cage. And there wasn't. Oh, I don't know. I don't have a lot of hope for civil disobedience either. You may be right.
Well, that's my point. I've seen civil disobedience, and I've seen where it's led so far. It hasn't worked. As a matter of fact, it's only polarized people more.
I don't know. I guess I'd have to respectfully disagree, because I haven't seen the civil disobedience. It's in such minute little specks that it's almost unnoticeable.
You've got a system that they call supposedly like democracy, which actually divides people just by definition. Mm-hmm. How do you unify a system that divides by definition? It defies logic.
Yeah. This is far from a true democracy, but you know, the kids that they're pumping out, that they're graduating out of high school, actually believe that 51% of them can take away the rights of the 49%, as long as they got a majority. That's democracy. They don't realize democracy is a tool for our republic, which specifically protects the minority. They don't get it. But yeah,
democracy is always majority rules. It has nothing to do with the minority. People need to get that out of their head, that their rights are automatically protected in a democracy. They're not. It's majority rule, mob rule, period.
In a raw democracy, absolutely. And that's what they're trying to transition us into. It's why the talking heads don't say, our republic this and our republic that, is they don't want people to say, what republic? What's this republic thing? All right, you ask a kid, a graduate, what a republic is, and most of them cannot answer you. That's sad. That's a sad state of affairs when your government schools produce graduates that don't realize they're a republic. They don't even know what it is.
Well, when you have a government that, I mean, I don't believe there is a sovereign government in place. So I don't think that voting is, I think it's all theater.
Yeah, you know, largely I agree with you. I'm not going to disagree on that. We have been following UN policies, and they've been ramping them up in recent years. But actually, even before the early 90s with UN Agenda 21, they were already softening the targets and laid out that dragnet of the new Soviets. But that's when that really cranked down on us, and it's had its effect. They're talking about doing away. The talking heads, the big banks, the World Economic Forum, those types are talking about seizing private property from the rebellious. That's one of the 45 goals of communism, for crying out loud.
As long as you don't have a lodeal title, you don't have private property. another illusion.
Right. Yeah. All right, Jim, thanks a lot for the call. I got a couple more I got to squeeze in before the top of the hour. But thanks for calling in. That was Jim from Texas. He's absolutely right. Those things that, you know, we use the words a lot. We throw it around, and Do we have democracy, the tool of democracy? I'm not talking about raw democracy as a nation. We're a republic, as I said. But is the democracy part even working? You don't have democracy unless you have a fully informed public, right? How's the press treated you? In integrity in the election, how has that treated you? All right, otherwise you don't have democracy. You have something else. I don't know what you want to call it, but you don't have democracy. And is it focused on protecting the rights of the minority? No. No, it's not. So, I don't know. We got to sit back and really ask ourselves, do we want to continue to comply and consent to tyranny everywhere that exists? This is a lifestyle change, folks. All right, we got some more calls are piling in here. I want to make sure we get to all these if we can. Next up is Dan from Washington. How are you, Dan?
Pretty good. Nice sunny day here. I actually support Palestine, so I'm in a good mood today. I think my call about immigration is that the people that support Israel and then they're still concerned about immigration haven't done much studying. If you look at the media, like Rachel Maddow and people like Mayorkas, who's let in more people than any time in history, they're all basically Zionists. So, you know, if Israel would go back to its 67 borders, there's a lot of Arab countries that would be okay with that. They got a greater Israel plan, you know, and want to use America to take out Iraq, Syria, and Libya. And, so this is a complicated issue. You definitely have...
So you think there's a way, you believe there's a way for Israel to exist and that there would be relative peace if they went to their 67 borders? Is that all right?
Yeah, that's what a lot of countries are supporting, including Russia, and I think even Iran. I really don't care if it exists or not because the Jewish community basically has been doing everything they can to destroy Europe and America and destroy the white European people since World War II. But yeah, technically, even Hamas and a lot of these groups, if they went back to those borders, they would have peace. And Jerusalem, Trump, if you look at the original UN plan, Jerusalem was supposed to be shared by all three religions. And by Trump giving it all to Israel, taking it for Muslims and Christians, they haven't tried for peace, really. They just eventually want to take the whole Middle East over. And what they've been doing in Syria and Libya. The whole agenda is to attack Iran.
Now, given the amount of arms that the United States is known for shipping all around the world, some of these arms are in both sides right now. I said that at the top of the hour, and I stick to it, is some of the weapons of war that have been made in the United States and exported are in the hands of both parties here. Do you think that if we just stopped arming the world... And in this case, let's just stick with this instance. Do you think the situation would be as bad as it is if we weren't funneling arms into both sides of that?
No, I mean, obviously that doesn't help, or giving arms to the Ukraine or, I think at this point it's kind of too late. I mean, I think basically... The U.S. government has so many dual Israeli citizens running it, they pretty much control who sells arms to who anyway at this point. But the Rosenbergs, was it the Rosenberg in the 1940s sold the nuclear bomb and gave it to Russia. Is that the Rosenbergs? There's two nuclear scientists.
You may be right.
Go ahead.
I think you may be right. I'm not 100% sure, though.
Yeah. I mean, they got tons of nuclear weapons, but they got them basically from stealing them from America. And then they didn't say they had nukes for a long time. So, I mean, technically, Iran has every right to get nukes because Israel's not supposed to have them either. That gets into JFK and a lot of stuff. Even 9/11, taking out Iraq, how many Americans died in the Iraq War, and Iraqis. Israel came up with the fake intelligence about, what was that thing that Yahoo, or there, he's always up there saying we need to attack Iran, and the fake weapons of mass destruction, all this kind of stuff.
We really got to include into the whole campaign season, if you will, a much deeper discussion about foreign policy. This is something that they rarely, if ever, focus on. Really never focus on. You might get a fleeting glimpse, a mention of a much larger policy, but the American people have not a clue what the machine that's been put in place for what's called American interests. All right, whatever is interesting to your foreign policy people is what is worthy of using our military might on, and this needs to be looked at much closer by we the people, by the voters. They're oblivious to this.
Every presidential candidate just flat out supports Israel, really, and has. There used to be some kind of left-wing opposition to Zionism, but that's all gone, So it's pretty much, they do just support Israel 100%. I'm kind of hoping that China and Russia step in and say, hey, you know what, well, we have our own peace plan and go back to your 67 borders. And that would be an interesting way China and Russia could mess with us. What if they just send in peacekeeping troops, in Palestine or something?
Well, the whole BRICS movement is definitely gaining some traction. So I don't think we've heard the last from them yet. Dan, appreciate the call. I got some more on the line.
E-Verify. Never forget about E-Verify. That's the quickest way, to have them self-deport. It's surprising how many states don't even have E-Verify, so they don't even have to verify some of the citizens. That would really help get rid of the cheap labor part aspect of it.
Yeah, I mean, this is all intentional. Right now, the blue cities are on fire all over the place, and it's only going to get worse with the invasion that's going on. Dan from Washington, thank you very much for the call. We got to move on here. We got a few others coming up, and I want to make sure we get to everybody. Mark from Florida.
Hey, thanks for letting me on. E-Verify is to enslave every American. Don't be tracked by your government. Reject tracking E-Verify. I want to mention that people look up Truth Freedom Health, and everything is local. People are complaining about the border. That's a property rights issue. It ain't a government issue. It's your property rights issue. You got to get local. You got to get on your councils and your school boards. The COVID-19 lockdown was enforced by your county and your state and your local cities, not by the federal government. And you allowed your councils and your school boards and your legislatures to lock you down. So the federal government didn't do it. It's all local. And if you guys want to complain, go get on your local board.
You're exactly right. Your local board of health, whoever your health agent is in your town, wields the biggest sword, and they could have said no. You're exactly right.
Yeah. And not one of them evidenced COVID. Any person that tested positive for COVID-19, not one sample of the COVID-19 was collected from any of them, because it does not exist. It's a whole lie. And
they're going to try it again. They're going to try it again. And I've been telling all the businesses I interact with, don't you dare do that again. Don't turn your back on yourself, your family, your community. Don't fall for that stuff. You open up, we'll be here. We'll keep buying your stuff. And we won't let them shut you down. I warned them, because if that happens all over, we're done for. I don't know.
Right. Thank you. It's all done locally, people. Get on your boards. Thank you.
Yep. Thanks for the call. Mark from Florida is exactly right. All politics is local. I harp on that every single week, and I mean it. All right. You need to have municipalities dig in their heels and say no. Say no to the state, no to the federal government when it comes to tyranny of any flavor. All right. That's always civil disobedience is still yet to be seen here. And that's what I recommend. All right. Thanks for tuning in. Been an absolute hoot. This is Sunday, October 8th, 2023. And love having you guys on board. Hit that thumbs up button. Love and appreciate y'all. Fly your flags high. Keep your powder dry. Love each other out there. We'll see you next week.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.
Because you can handle the truth.